And we'll read something from The Awakened Soul by Gibran. They say to me, you must needs choose between the pleasure of this world and the peace of the next world. And I say to them, I have chosen both the delights of this world and the peace of the next, for I know in my heart that the Supreme Poet wrote but one poem, and it scans perfectly, and it also rhymes perfectly. Go ahead.
Beginning?
No, you're starting.
And it's fun.
After you. Nobody ever gets to the door that way, you know.
Follow me. I am the pathway of sound and light. Follow me. And that's always what the voice of God says. That's what this pathway is the voice of God bringing the soul home. Bringing the soul home. We've often heard Jim say, come home, come home. Well, this is another way the voice calls. It says, follow me. I am the pathway of sound and light. Follow me. And that's the inner journey, the calling. The sound is the voice of God. What we call the sound current, the sound of spirit, the audible life stream, that truly is the voice of God that speaks to the soul to call it home. And as that voice speaks, we literally, as soul, can hear that still small voice, even in the English language, as we share here. It will communicate with us in any language it needs to, in order to bring us to that place of awakening and back into the fullness with itself. That voice of God is the movement of loving. It is the very living, loving essence of the Lord that we so often speak of. And it is that voice that as we learn to hear it within, that we come to know what that is. And it is in the knowing that we will follow that voice more and more. In the beginning, we may not know it. We may not understand it. But through the vehicle of a spiritual teacher is that way that we come to understand and know what that voice is. Because through that teacher, that voice of God is made known. Make no mistake, the true voice of God is the living, loving essence that simply moves through that vehicle we call the spiritual teacher. That is the pathway. That is the true teacher, is that voice of God. Not the physical voice, not the personality, but that which speaks through the vehicle. That is the thing to follow. Always, always, always follow that inner voice of God. Meditation is simply the technique or the way by which we can begin to open, to recognize, to understand and perceive all the workings of that inner voice through the light, through the sound, through the movement of that spirit within, through all the experiences both in the body and out of the body. All of those are a movement of that voice. That voice of God literally is the river of loving. And it appears like a river. We may even have inner experience in a dream state or out of body or a vision while meditating of literally being in a river, that river gathers and pulls us in its current towards its source, to where it's going. All we have to do is get in. But to get in, we've even got to be able to recognize where the river is. the way we recognize is not only opening to that movement and meditation, but yet there is that place within us as that tributary of the river that is the same. It is up to us to get the waters moving, to stir the waters in order to get the flow going so that we, in a sense, bring ourselves back into that main river. And we do that by sharing our loving with God, that the voice of our soul, the voice of God that we are, as it begins to call out in loving, to once again connect and merge into that greater voice. That's all we have to do. The simplicity of this pathway is absolutely amazing and stunning. How simple it is. Simply by calling out in loving, by loving the Lord God within, in spirit, not outward in prayer and ritual, but simply inside of ourselves, of reaching out, extending the loving of who we are, is what opens that door and what connects us back into that current, that sound current. It is both the sound and the light. Because it's amazing when we begin to perceive and to hear that voice of God, there's also this radiance, this glow of the light that automatically comes from the sound. That as we pay attention to that inner sound, we'll begin to automatically see that inner light, to see the inner glow. First is our own soul, and then the greater light of God. Because that is the way we recognize and perceive, is through who we are as that light and sound. So always remember to begin your meditation, or at any time throughout the day, to begin by simply sharing your loving with the Creator within. Because that's the movement that will bring that alive and awake within you, where you will really come to know and wake up, be aware, experience that movement of loving, that voice that is calling you home that says, follow me. I am the pathway of sound and light. Follow me. So that following is simply through your awareness. Wherever that sound and light moves you, wherever that experience brings you, it is simply following, allowing yourself to move along for the ride. That's really all you have to do. You don't have to make anything happen. There's no forcing or pushing or pressuring here. It's simply relaxing and sharing your loving and allowing yourself to move into that current of loving that is God bringing you home. And you will hear that inner voice of God literally speaking to you, calling you home. Sure, it may appear as all these inner sounds we've spoken of, literally of moving water, of bells, of musical instruments. But ultimately, you will hear a voice, just like you may hear each other's voices, a voice speaking directly to you, a soul. And you will know, when the time comes, you will know what that voice is. You will know that is the voice of God bringing you home. And then you will celebrate. That is the joyous moment of awakening to what that really is. The knowing of what that is, and the joy, and the gratefulness, and gratitude. There will be tears of joy and gratitude, believe me. If you haven't had that already, there will be a day you will have that. You will know that. So just allow yourself to follow that voice of God, that sound and that light. You know, a lot of the following really does take an effort and an action on our part of being willing to surrender and to let go of all those things that we so attached ourselves to, that we've created in our mind, emotions, imagination, and body, to allow ourselves to let go of those things so that we really can now begin to follow after that true voice of God calling us home. That's the biggest challenge. Believe me, when you have the experience of that voice, there's no challenge of following that voice. There is no challenge because there's nothing else that the soul truly wants other than to follow that voice. The challenge is in the letting go, of confronting, in coming to acceptance, in loving with all those attachments and creations that we've created that have gotten in the way of that inner calling, that awareness, that greater experience of the loving. So let your journey be twofold, one of surrendering and letting go of those things that stand between you and God. And it doesn't have to be hard. It really doesn't have to be hard to let go of those attachments. It's so funny because the struggle that the mind and the emotions will go through to hang on literally for dear life to all those things that we've created that hold us here, that are always calling our attention. Look at me, focus on me. The little child that always wants the attention. Feed me, I'm hungry. We call those distractions. Sure, they may be distractions, but they're also the illusion, the creations of the mind and the emotions in these material worlds. But make no mistake about what they are. The trick is not to judge it, not to fear it, and not to get caught up in it, because that's where the struggle and the challenge is getting caught up in it, in thinking that we have to do something with it, that we've got to get rid of it, that there's something we have to do to earn our keep. Because if we work hard, we get the reward, right? That's the way of the world, is the working hard. Because that's what the mind, the emotions, and the body want you to do and believe. And so we take that into meditation, thinking we've got to work hard in order for us as soul to get home, to awaken. But that's not the case. It is completely the opposite on this journey home, this pathway of sound and light. Completely the opposite. It is the pathway of simplicity and ease, of not working, but loving. Loving by its nature is free. No attachment. It is detached. You don't have to detach and get rid of things. All you need to do is be loving. In the loving itself, there is no attachment. It is a state of freedom, and there is no struggle in that state of freedom. It's free. We freely move about. Just through that movement of loving, it will bring us along. It carries us. Truly the soul just gets in the river and the river carries us home. It's we, through this material, mental, emotional consciousness, that will try to attach and hang on and keep the soul from getting in the river, or even once it's in the river, to get out of the river, to grab a branch, grab a rope, pull yourself out of the river. Oh my God, you're going to drown. You're going to die. That's what the mind and the emotions feel. But yet the soul of who you are truly knows you're coming to greater life. But in that coming to greater life, you will have the awareness of that part of the world that you've been caught up in that literally is dying off. That's why often this meditation practice is called dying the little death daily, because there is a part of the consciousness that is dying. That part of the consciousness is the part that has been caught up in living in the world. So just understand that that's part of this journey, that we'll all go through is that experience and awareness of the part that is dying. And believe me, I know it is not easy when that part is struggling for life. That's when we feel the challenge and the hardness, the hardship, where we feel like we've really got to work to somehow do something to keep it alive. But that's not who you are. That's just the vehicle that you as soul are using to have experience in this world of reflection of time and space. So just pay attention. Be aware and understand that that's part of the journey. And the way to freedom and the liberation is simply to love and to accept those parts of where you've been caught up in the world, in their struggle, in their trying to fight to stay alive, and however you feel that, however you experience that, just know that that's what that is. You're not going off course. You're not falling from the graces of God. If you really, in your heart, are devoted to going home, to loving God inside, to make the return, that's all you need to know. And when this other stuff kicks up, just know that that's part of the process. It doesn't mean you're slipping and falling back into the world. It is simply the world trying to keep you in bondage, trying to get you caught back up in it so that you don't get free and move on to the higher experience. So when it kicks up, laugh. Loving, acceptance, forgiveness. Just laugh. That's what lightens the load. When you, instead of going into reaction because of what you're experiencing, when you can look at that reaction and just begin to love and accept and forgive if needed, whatever that is running inside of you, that's when you are living that loving. That's when you know you are living the spirit of who you are. Is when you really do that. You're still going to have reaction. Jim and I still have reactions. But we also love and accept those reactions because we understand it's simply the mind, the emotions, imagination and body just doing their thing. And they're going to continue doing their thing. Sometimes it's nice and sometimes it's not so nice. But it's those times that are not so nice that when you can really within yourself just love it all is when you will set yourself free. And when you do that, you will find yourself in that river of loving, in hearing that voice of God calling you, saying to you, follow me. I am the pathway of sound and light. Follow me. And you will know that inner voice. You will know it. There will be no question, doubt, or wonder. You will know. So just know your part. It's simply surrendering and letting go of all the illusions we've been caught up in. And the other part of where I said earlier, this is simply two parts. The other part is simply loving God. That's all the meditation is. Chanting the Hue, the sacred names of God, the Anahue. It is simply saying, Lord, I love you. Not just saying it, but actually spiritually doing it. Haven't you noticed yet? When you meditate and chant, or literally just inside of yourself say, I love you, Lord. I love you. Haven't you had some type of inner knowing and experience of that movement of loving? Whether it's through the light or the sound or just the feeling, a movement. A little pressure in the forehead or top of the head. That's the spirit. That's the loving. No matter how subtle it is, it does happen. You do know. Maybe not right away. And maybe you even question it some when it does happen. But if you pay attention over time, it doesn't change. It'll always be the same experience. And that's how spirit is. It is always the same. Loving is loving. And it's through the repetition of over and over doing the meditation and having that experience that that which was once subtle no longer is subtle, that it becomes more alive, awake. It becomes maybe even intense and strong at times. Those are the experiences I'm grateful for, because those experiences are where I really know that spirit really is with me and that I'm with spirit. And it's through the repetition as it happens over and over that you'll come to not only know that, but you'll come to trust that. You'll know that you can trust in that movement of loving. You'll know that you can give up to and surrender to that movement of loving. You'll know that as you do give up and surrender to that loving, how much better, how much freer you are inside. And eventually you'll know that's all you really ever needed. You did not need all these attachments and things that you've created in the world. You didn't need the physical things. You didn't need the fantasies. You didn't need these certain feelings that you may have. You didn't need the belief systems, the way you think things are supposed to be. You'll come into the understanding, the true understanding, that those were simply just experiences of the material world. And who you are didn't need any of that. It's simply a fun journey, a joyful journey of the movement of loving, that you as soul got to come into these worlds and experience the darkness, the separation, the attachments. It's been a lot of fun, right? Lots of fun. I know when you're starting to return home, it doesn't seem like so much fun. It was more fun when you weren't aware of spirit. I had a good time before I was aware of spirit. I was caught up in the world and doing it and having a good time. And that's the way it is. When a soul is really caught up in the world, it is to experience it fully. But when the day comes, when it's time to go home, that begins to change. And that's when the world often doesn't seem so fun anymore. But I'll let you in on a little secret. When the world doesn't seem so fun anymore, that's a signpost along the way that is letting you know that the soul no longer is looking to the world, that it doesn't want to be in this creation any longer because it knows the falseness, the illusion, the separation, and now it begins to long once again for the greater oneness. So if you're not enjoying things in life, celebrate. Be joyful. Because that often is a signpost that the soul is wanting to get free and get out of this world and go back to where it came from. Then you can actually be joyful and grateful for those feelings, those struggles, those challenges. When you have that, I want you to really know that that is you, a soul, getting free from those attachments. They're not bad or evil or terrible things. That struggle, that challenge, is you a soul on this path of loving, working through, detaching, getting yourself free from that which you've been caught up in. There's no need to judge that anymore. There's no need to fear that. That's part of the process. And your awareness of that is letting you know that you are getting free. That's what takes place when you're really living this path of sound and light, it may look like the same reactions before you were doing this, and it may look the same as when other people that aren't in the spirituality at all are going through that. The difference is that you are getting free and returning home, where others may be still going out into creation and experiencing that on the way down and out, where you're now coming in and up and simply going through it to detach from it. The movement of spirit is down out of the heart of God into creation and then back on in and up. Just a big circle. Know that on this pathway that you are on the in and up movement of that current of loving. Not down and out, but in and up. There's no way I can convince you of any of this. It really is up to you to do the loving, to do the meditation, which is doing the loving, and having your own inner experience, because that's what this is about. It's about you moving into the experience of once again knowing who you are, a soul, and merging once again into the greater fullness of loving. It's not about these lectures and words. It's not about coming to classes and doing good works in the world. It is about the inner movement of loving that you experience in your movement upwards into the greater fullness with God. I love getting together like this physically, coming together and loving and sharing and being with one another, because the experience I have of that movement of loving that we share together in this. Otherwise, I would not want to come. But I also know that it's in the sharing that begins to stir that movement inside, including me. And it's that stirring inside that I want, because I know that is the path to freedom. And I take it with me. When we walk out of this room, we all part and say goodbye to one another, I take it with me. Take it with you. Bring it home and bring it into your meditation so that you continue living the loving and just expanding into yet greater experience, greater knowing, allowing yourself to have the greater freedom and the greater knowing. Stop fighting and struggling. Just surrender and let go and bring your focus back to the seat of the soul and begin simply the process of loving God once again and opening and being vulnerable to allow that movement of God's loving back into you. And just continue doing that over and over, more and more, longer and longer, until you really are living it fully and experiencing it and knowing it. And don't stop until you do. Don't come to Jim or I or anybody else complaining that you're not having experience. It's up to you to have the experience by what you do, and the complaining is not going to get it. Believe me, I've done enough of it. Not only that, but I've wished and wanted enough for a lot more, and all that push created an inner pressure of all the wanting that actually even blocked more of the greater experience for myself, because I wanted it so bad of all the wonderful stuff that wanting actually got in the way of the having the experience. So just relax and just go into the loving. It's that inner focus of loving where it will just all unfold. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to complain that you're not getting it. It will come simply as you bring yourself to it by simply chanting the names of God. and loving God, because that is the same. That's it. That's all there is. It is amazing. That's all there is. And we sit here and spend hours talking all about it, but I also know it is that still small voice, that river of loving, the sound current, that does come into these classes, that does move into these sharings, that does begin to stir us awake, where we truly begin to know and hear that voice of God saying to each of us, follow me. I am the pathway of sound and light. Follow me.
It's kind of funny, when he was talking at one point, his conversation kind of brought up a memory. And when you were a child, were you ever off playing at a neighbor's house late in the evening and maybe early afternoon, and all of a sudden your mother calls out from the house to come home, because it's either dinner time or it's time to do your homework or time to go to bed? And how often do you remember, if you remember that incident happening, do you remember ignoring it, not giving it any attention, and or not even hearing it? You've gotten to the point where you just actually have just shut it out now inside, to where you can't even hear her call, even though others around you are saying, hey, your mom's calling you, and you go, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't hear her. That's what we've done with that still small voice of God. We've gotten so distracted, we've gotten so caught up in the games of the world, in the play of the world, that oftentimes when God does start to call us home, we're still so involved and caught up in the game of the world that we do not give that call the true response that it deserves. We do not give it attention. Oftentimes we'll just avoid it or ignore it. And the key for us as initiates and as one who are seeking on this path of light and sound, who are seeking to come into the greater knowing of themselves as soul, is to pay attention, to pay attention. Now, when you're in the experience as a child and you're caught up in the game with your friends and you're playing, the voices you can hear the strongest are the ones that are closest to you, your friends that you're playing with, the excitement, the enthusiasm of what's taking place. And that voice of your mother or your father calling from a distance is subtle. It's off in the distance. And you really sometimes have to listen in order to hear it. And in order to do that, you have to kind of block out all the other voices in order to really see, is that my mom calling me, or is that my imagination, or what is that? And as he was talking, I was reminded of how, as a child, I would do just that. I would avoid, I would ignore if I was really having a good time. But if I wasn't having a good time, it was kind of like, oh, well, you know, here we are, and we're doing the same old thing, and it wasn't that much fun. I would hear her loud and clear. And I'd go, oh, I got to go home. And off I would go. And she gave me a good excuse then to leave, because I didn't want to just leave. So she gave me the reason to. Now, did she yell out louder than normal, that all of a sudden I could hear her so well? No. It's really a matter of where we are holding our attention, where we're focused. And in that moment, I wasn't so focused into the event with all my friends and what was going on. And so I was able to be more aware of other things that were going on around me. And as he was talking, I also then realized that just recently I had a similar experience, not the same kind exactly, but a similar experience. I was sitting in my room, and I was working on my computer, and I was working on an email, and I was responding to an email that somebody had written. And I was very focused into giving a clear response. And as I was doing that, somebody came in the room and started telling me some stuff. And I'm sure they thought they had my attention. And I'm sure at one level I thought I was paying attention. So they talked and shared, and I said, oh, okay, well, thank you. And off they went to do something else. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I'm realizing, God, they came in and said something. What was that? And I had to sit down at the computer and get up and go say, could you repeat that? Because I didn't listen. I mean, they were right there, but I didn't hear a word that they said. I could not have told you what they were telling me to do or what was going on that I need to be aware of. And so it really is true that no matter where we are in our life, as a child or as an adult, it's where are we holding our focus? Where are we holding our attention? And it's the same in meditation. In meditation, I can sit down and I can close my eyes and I can begin to chant the name of God, and I can have the intention of sharing my loving with God as I chant this name, and opening in vulnerability and receiving God's love as I chant this name. And for a few moments, I can really, truly be focused in that way. And then in comes the mind, in comes the world, in comes whatever. And it's so interesting that those things in the world are so much more real and close and solid and attractive to us in some ways that we'll interfamiliar, that we'll go and follow after them rather than continue on into this energy that is so much more subtle, focusing on God, of sharing our loving with the Lord, of putting God first. The thing to remember is that this physical body is in its creation. This physical world that we dwell in this physical body, is the home of this body. And it is the substance by which this body is made up. And this body is attracted into it. And it's, this body is definitely going to hold its attention to that which is familiar, which is home, which is so close to it. And the soul is very subtle in comparison to this physical body. The soul is pure spirit. And the soul's home is spirit. And the soul is just using this body for a moment in existence to have experience here in the physical creation. And while it's in the physical form, it finds that the physical body and the physical creation is very strong in its attractiveness and its attractions to things in the physical. And that the soul is rather weak in comparison to the strength of the physical body here.